In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 12. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food, and God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. For you were bought with a price. So glorify God with your body. Let me pray. Father, thank you. Lord, as we walk through this passage, Lord, we are once again confronted with our rights. As followers of Christ, our duty, our desire, as they war with our flesh. May your gospel, God, have power this morning. May the Holy Spirit absolutely illuminate these scriptures and cause people to be encouraged, confronted, rebuked. And for some, may it be the very power unto salvation. For the first time. I pray these things in your son's name. Amen. Do you know what your rights are as an American citizen? These rights are found in our Constitution. And within that Constitution, we have these 10 amendments, which are called the Bill of Rights, for every American citizen. The Bill of Rights, since 1789, when James Madison proposed those after the 7 Articles of the Confederation were adopted in our Constitution, James Madison wrote these 10 Bill of Rights for every citizen. They have never been amended since 1789. Oftentimes, our rights can lead to some misguided behaviors, can they not? Freedom of speech can lead to hate speech. You can burn a flag. I ran into a lady downtown. She wanted me to sign a petition to include the Communist Party in an area of people to vote for. What rights do you have as a follower of Jesus Christ? Do we have a Bill of Rights for a follower of Jesus Christ? You ever wonder that? Let's summarize real quick the problems that are existing in this fledgling church, this church in Corinth. In the first 4 chapters of the letter to the Corinthians, Paul addresses the divisions that are taking place in the church. I follow so-and-so. I like this speaker, that speaker. All of this stemmed from the very Greek culture, which made them follow the one who could speak the best. So the very sins of their culture were infiltrated into the church. They were divided over human leaders and human philosophies. Both of these carryovers from their life before Christ. In chapter 5, we saw evil taking place in the church, and the church failing to address a sinful, unrepentant follower of Jesus Christ. Again, a carryover from their former life, which tolerated all sins. In chapter 6, where we're at today, at the very beginning of this chapter, again, we saw that their sin of going to court with one another, going and taking each believer to court amongst unbelievers, was a testimony of, again, the culture which loved to go to court, which loved to argue. So again, it carried over from culture into the church, the followers of Christ. Here in chapter 6, we have immorality, again, addressed. Again, carried over from their previous life in Christ. This was a town that absolutely glorified sexual sin. They worshipped at the goddess of Aphrodite, which was the god of fertility. There was over 1,000 prostitutes at the top of a hill, and when they had celebrations, you could have at it. Greek philosophy taught that if it made you feel good, do it. Hence, when we read in our passage this morning, I'm going to come back, but I want to go to verse 13, where Paul says, food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food. Now, in this passage, we're not talking about food and what you can eat. What Paul is saying is that was a very normal Greek philosophy. What they believed was that your flesh meant nothing. Nothing spiritual, that is. So if you wanted to gorge yourself in food, do it. If you wanted to gorge yourself with sex, do it. Whatever felt good, you could do. So as we come to this chapter, again, the church is being burdened by the sins of the culture. Each one of us, before we knew Christ, had sins that we were enslaved to, that was causing us death, spiritual death, separation from a holy God. Now, I wish I could say that when we accept Christ as our Savior, all of those sins just disappear. We never struggle again. And that's not the case. Those very sins will infiltrate, or desires to infiltrate, your very walk with Christ. That's what was happening. Sexual immorality was rampant, even within the followers of Jesus Christ. So this morning, I want to address what our rights are as followers of Jesus Christ. Because what Paul is saying here is, he says, all things are lawful for me. Some translations, the NIV says, these are my rights. All things give me right to do whatever I want to do. And Paul goes on to say, but not all things are helpful. I have the right to do whatever I want. But I will not be dominated by anything. So Paul addresses these very rights that a Christian has, a follower of Jesus Christ has. What are your rights as a follower of Christ? Well, the first thing that I see, it's found in that very verse, in verse 12, is you have the right to be free. You have the right to be free. Verse 12 says, free from what? Free from the sin's slavery. Can you do whatever you want now that you're a follower of Jesus Christ? It was taught, as it is taught today, as doctrine teaches, that every follower of Jesus Christ is saved by grace through faith. This is not of your own doing, not by works, so that no man can boast. We also know that Scripture tells us that there is no good work that we can do that keeps us saved. The very work that saved us, Jesus Christ on the cross, is the very work that keeps us saved. So this doctrine is taught throughout Scriptures, throughout the churches. And so the natural thing to say is, okay, I'm free to do whatever I want now. Right? Isn't that what we see in Romans chapter 5? Leading into Romans chapter 6. Read these with me. In Romans chapter 5, Paul addresses this in the letter to the Romans. He says, "Now the law came in to increase the trespass. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that, as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." So what does that mean? That means that as a follower of Jesus Christ, every time you sin, grace abounds and keeps abounding. And abounds that much more. Can I get an amen? If someone's not walking with Christ, this becomes a license to sin. We see that in Romans chapter 6, because then he says this. "What shall I say then? Are we to continue to sin so that grace might abound?" Paul says, by no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Listen, the first right you have as a follower of Jesus Christ, as Paul is addressing this church in Corinth, a church that is just allowing sin to run rampant, because you know what? Grace abounds. They're using Greek philosophy to say, listen, we have the right to do whatever we want now. Because Jesus forgives us. Paul says, listen, all things are lawful to you, but they are not helpful. All things are lawful to you, but you cannot be enslaved to them anymore. You want to know what your right is as a follower of Jesus Christ? You can be free. Free from what? From the sin slavery. Listen, before you knew Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you were a slave to your sin. You couldn't help yourself. When Paul says sin is not helful, what he's saying, it's a Greek word, it means profitable. Listen, when you become a follower of Christ, you realize that sin doesn't profit you anymore. Yes, you might get something out of it, temporary satisfaction, but it is not profitable to a follower of Jesus Christ anymore. It's not to your advantage. It's not giving you lasting joy that Jesus Christ gives. You want to know what your right is as a follower of Jesus Christ? You don't have to be a slave anymore. When Jesus saved you, he cut the bond of that slavery. He gave you the power to have victory over sin because he had victory over sin. Sin enslaves. The word enslaves, literally, some translations say masters. Listen, as a follower of Jesus Christ, you can allow sin to master you again. When you're not walking with him, when you're not following him, sin starts to master you again. Paul says, listen, you're free. It doesn't have to master you anymore. Isn't that good news? Paul is addressing, again, a very sexually charged culture. Sex outside of the marriage bed is a sin against God. And God wants to free you. Free us. Look at Galatians chapter 5 when we see this freedom Paul addresses. He says, for freedom, listen, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. When Jesus saved you, he gave you the right to be free in him. Look at verse 13. For you are called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Listen, Jesus forgives you. Amen? Follower of Jesus Christ, Jesus forgives you. But that is not a license to continue the behavior. You are free to say no, because Jesus said no. You're free to do what God wants. You're free to be joyful doing what God wants, not what you want. So what's the answer? If you're committing sexual immorality, you know, sexual immorality is not just committing adultery with another person. It could be pornography, lust, anything that takes your eyes off the very person that God has for you. If you're single and you're thinking, hey, I got the freedom to do, I'm not attached to anybody, I can look at anything. Listen, why don't you start right now being pure in Christ? You are free to do that. Jesus says, stop it. You have the freedom to stop, to confess, and to give him glory. You are free from being enslaved to that sin. I love Romans chapter 6, verse 14. It says, for sin shall no longer master over you. The word dominion. It won't have dominion over you anymore. It doesn't have to, because you're free. Since you're not under the law, but you're under grace. Listen, grace is not the ability for you to continue to sin. Grace is the ability for God to get the glory for what you're doing. Well, let me say it again. Grace is what God wants to give you to do what he wants you to do, not what you want to do. So yes, pray for God's grace. But the grace to be free, the very right that Jesus Christ died on the cross for. What other rights has Jesus given us? Let's look at verses 13b and 17 through 19. Food is meant for the stomach, and stomach is meant for the food. And God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord. And the Lord for the body. All the way down to 17. Look at it says, but he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You are bought with a price. With a price. So what other right do you have? Not only do you have the right to be free in Christ, you are given the right, you ready? You can use your body for the Lord. It no longer has to be an instrument of sin. It can be an instrument for the glory of God. Amen? You can use your body to help somebody. You can use your body to shovel your neighbor's walk on Tuesday. You can use your body to hold a door open for someone. You can use your body to give someone a hug that needs it. You can use your body for setup and teardown. Amen. You have the right to use your body for the Lord. What a privilege. It's not a burden. God has given you a body. Use it. Not for your flesh and for your own satisfaction, but use it to glorify Jesus. Serve in the nursery. Help a mom and a dad out so they can hear the word of God uninterrupted. I always bring nursery in, don't I, Melanie? The most thankless job there is. Three times in these verses, Paul uses the word members. He reminds us that the moment we believed in Jesus Christ, we were grafted into his body. And now we are members with Christ. So what Paul is saying is, it is absolutely unthinkable, Paul says, unthinkable that you would use your body for sexual immorality, because it's basically saying, hey, Jesus, come with me. I'm going to go do some sexual immorality. Can any of you imagine doing that? Jesus, come with me as I turn my computer on when no one's home. Jesus, come with me in the car when I'm driving around scrolling through things. Jesus, come with me as I yell at my kids. Jesus, come with me when I rip somebody off. Jesus, come with me when I do what I want to do. Paul's saying this is unthinkable. We are members with Christ. We take Christ wherever we go and whatever we do. Think about that for a second. What you look at, Christ is looking at. To join yourself to a prostitute is saying, Jesus, join yourself to a prostitute. Can you imagine if Jesus were standing here and you said, Lord, just come with me. I'm going to go commit adultery. Lord, come with me, please. No, I think most of us, I am in that boat. I remember as a follower of Jesus Christ, shortly after I was saved, still looking at those drugs, still looking at different things, and just being utterly convicted. I was free. I was free in Christ. I didn't have to be enslaved anymore. I didn't have to use my body for myself. I could use my body for Jesus Christ. He has given me that right in him. We have rights as followers of Jesus Christ. The right to be free in Christ. The right to use our bodies for Christ. Someone who doesn't know Jesus Christ, their body is their own. It is an instrument for their glorification. And it will absolutely die a death and the wrath of God that they deserve. So that not be some of you this morning. If you're here today and you have never put your trust in Christ, your body is your own. Jesus has not clothed you with his righteousness. When God sees you, he sees you in your sin. He must see Jesus who covered your sin. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Amen? The last thing that I see here as a right that Jesus gives us. Not only the right to be free in Christ, no longer to be enslaved in our sin. Not only to use our body. But listen, the last right I see is found in verse 20. It says, for you are bought with a price. So what? What? glorify God in your body. It's really a continuation of the second point, but I like 3 points, so I'm going to make it a third point. Listen, you have the right to make Jesus famous. If you are in Christ, God has given you the right to live this life to make Jesus famous. Use your body, use your freedom to make Jesus famous at your work, at your homes, wherever God has you, make Him famous. I say it a lot in messages because I think it's biblical. We were made to glorify God. All that means is make Jesus famous. When you see glorify God, think make Jesus famous. God has given us a right in Christ that we can now make Him famous. You couldn't make Him famous before you knew Jesus. You were in the business of making you famous. And what happens is, and our culture comes at us, and our own sin nature comes at us, we bring that into our Christian walk. We in turn try and make our own selves famous again. And it leaves us empty and joyless. Our desires should be to make Jesus famous. Listen, Jesus didn't buy us with gold and silver. You ready? We have these American Bill of Rights because of the blood shed during the British War. Men and women dying for the country so that we can have the Articles of Confederation, the Constitution to America. And we praise God for that. That's God's providence. We're thankful for what people have done to give us the very freedoms we have. Listen, Jesus did not buy your rights with gold and silver. He bought it with His blood too. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Read these. Knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. Listen, your rights to glorify God, your rights to be free, your rights to use your body to glorify God was bought with a price. Jesus hung on a cross for us. So we live to make Him famous. Listen, He bought you. The Bible says you are a shrine. And the Holy Spirit resides in you. You're the temple of the living God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16, you are the temple of the living God, he says. God's dwelling in you. So how could we drag the Holy Spirit in the works of the flesh? Listen, if we are defiling the temple of God, if we are dragging out that union with Christ into sexual immorality or any sin that we struggle with, God desires for us to repent. See, the good news is there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Amen? So what God desires to you to do and for me to do when I continue to wrestle with my flesh and the Holy Spirit working within me is when I struggle and I succumb, I repent. I confess. And I turn to the God who freed me. And God doesn't sit there and shake His head at me. God says, clean slate. Clean slate. Glorify me, Greg. Make me famous, Greg. Even in repentance, show people my grace. Show people what my son Jesus Christ did for you. So as we look at our rights this morning, as followers of Jesus Christ, we have the right to be free from the sin slavery. We don't have to be mastered by it anymore. We have the right to use our bodies to glorify God. We have the right to make Jesus famous. All those rights come in Christ. All those rights come because of what Jesus Christ did for us. So what are we to do with our bodies as we conclude? What are you to do with your body this morning? You glorify God with it. You praise God with it. If you've defiled your body, God will forgive you. Dive deeper into the gospel. Find your identity and your sufficiency in what Jesus did for you, and that will change everything about what you do. Find your identity and your sufficiency in Christ. That's what the gospel tells us. That is why the gospel is for salvation and the gospel is for sanctification. To those of us who know him, we dive deeper into the gospel. To those of you who do not know them, it is the power of your salvation. Put your faith and trust in him alone. I just met with a young lady this week who's trying to find her joy in so many different things. And I shared the gospel with her. The gospel's not going to solve her from her problems. What the gospel does is save her from her sins, which in turn gives her a joy in the midst of her circumstances. I told her, go home and read some of the verses that I shared with her. My prayer is that she went home and asked Christ to save her. There alone lies the very joy she was seeking. Where are you seeking your joy? As I conclude, look at Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39 with me. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. God has given you the rights in Christ to make him famous. Let's do that. Gracious Father, we thank you. Lord, when I think of my rights, I think of what I can get. When I think of the rights that you've given me, I think of the price that you paid. Lord, my prayer is even in my own life, that I would just see all the great glories of the gospel. And that you might radically just change every aspect of my life. Areas that I don't even know are sins. But the ones that are glaring, Lord, I just pray that you would just get absolute victory over. Lord, I'm praying for each one of these people out here. As the culture, as their own sin nature, whatever it is that is hampering their very walk with Christ, show them, Lord, that they can be free. Show them that they don't have to use their bodies for anything other than for your glory. And that is where true joy is found. We don't live for this world. We live for the world to come. Help us to set our minds on things that are above. not on things that are on earth. I pray these things in your Son's precious name. In Jesus' name, amen.